Chapter 76. This is Walter Cronkite back in our CBS newsroom in New York. Lee Harvey Oswald, the 24-year-old Marxist pro-Castroite, which the Dallas police said they had cinched a case against, accused assassin of President Kennedy, was himself shot to death in Dallas an hour and a half ago. Ron saw the photograph in his mind, the still picture taken just before it happened. One policeman wearing a white hat and on his right held his arm open. The other policeman was gripping his left arm. The gun got stuck right into his ribs. He was confused. It looked so brutal. Ron's attention drifted back to the TV. Cronkite was saying that Rubenstein, or Ruby, as he was known in Dallas, had no expressed political affiliation. Cronkite shifted to an interview with that Dan Rather was conducting with a comedian who'd been employed by Jack Ruby. The comedian said that he was a good guy who had always done right by him. Rather asked what kind of a place the Carousel Club was, and the comedian said that it was a nightclub that employed 5 or 6 exotic dancers. For a moment, involuntarily, Ron tried to picture exotic dancers. Then the comedian said that he had seen Lee Oswald in the Carousel Club's audience about 8 or 9 days ago. The comedian, who was also an MC, was doing a memory exercise, and he asked for audience participation. He remembered Oswald because he had participated. Rather asked if Oswald had been seen talking to Ruby, and the comedian said that he was fairly certain that Jack never knew that he was in the club. The comedian said that he was sure that Jack Ruby carried a gun in a bag, and he carried it with him regularly. He'd seen it once. It was a small and short-nosed gun. Bill DeMar said he carried it with him because he had the money. Rather asked, "Do you ever recall seeing any unsavory characters around the club?" "No." The man who described as an entertainer and MC for Jack Ruby said. The scene shifted to Washington, and the large crowd of people who had been waiting were allowed to file past the coffin. 2 abreast, one of the soldiers who stood guard was wearing a green beret, and the significance of his headpiece was described. The paintings that hung from the walls were described as being done by an aide to George Washington. They depicted 4 events that led to the formation of the federal government. Ron felt his chest swell with pride. His country. His history. The line of people was endless. It was reported that for the next 6 to 8 hours that the people would have a chance to say goodbye to their president by following this path. It was an endlessly mournful progression. People's hearts brought them there, and they just kept coming. It felt like the outpouring of a sea. They had to change the plans to close the doors to the Capitol Rotunda, and the White House announced that the doors would remain open as long as there were people waiting to say goodbye. A flag draped the coffin. The honor guard could not help but stand at attention, even though they were allowed to stand at ease. The crowd advanced slowly, like small people with large hearts. Together, everything about them was large. It was reported that President Eisenhower had worn a black armband yesterday in honor of his successor. Then Cronkite sent the coverage back to Dallas, and Dan Rather reported that there was yet a different angle to show the shooting of Oswald, and ran the tape. It was like they couldn't get enough of seeing him shot over and over, and Ron wondered if some solace in seeing him killed again and again was taking hold. rather reported that more and more comments were coming in from friends of Jack Rubenstein, and that they were shocked by the events, and that Jack Ruby had been able to shoot anyone. It was also reported that Rubenstein was known to many of the Dallas police force. Rather said that the truth seemed to be that Ruby was so well known to the Dallas police that no one thought of anything other than him being there. Ruby had been around the police station each day for the last several days, offering to give reporters free drinks if they came to one of his clubs. Then Cronkite reported that Captain Will Fritz of the Dallas Police Department was now saying that with the death of Oswald, the case of the assassination of President Kennedy was closed. Cronkite reported that the death of Oswald came exactly 48 hours after Kennedy's assassination, and that it happened while eulogies were being said over the casket of the late president as he lay in state in the Capitol Rotunda. The scene shifted back and showed that the endless line of mourners was continuing to wait for their chance to pay last respects to Kennedy, and that the line was flanked by uniformed policemen who stood at parade rest. So many people thought wrong, and they all loved him. He could not grasp how much love could be mixed with such a violent act. He felt the sadness and grief welling up inside of him again and tried to force it back. Ron wondered if they were mourning the TV images that had led them to believe that they knew this man, or if they were mourning the loss of hope that he seemed to embody. Cronkite was now reporting that numerous threats against various officials in Dallas were coming in from all over the country. Most notably, there had been anonymous threats sent to the mayor of Dallas and to members of the Dallas police force who had been shown on TV, and to a lawyer who had defended Jack Ruby at a time before the killings. He had said on TV that if asked, he would defend Jack Rubenstein.